We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience and all you fellow plague victims out there to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. There's many of you that worship with us by internet and YouTube and TV, and we want to welcome you to us. We hope to convert some of you to becoming members and involved with the Main Street Church of Christ when you learn all about us and what we do. William, our new pulpit preacher, needs 10 families, missionary-minded families, that will come and help him build this church. As long as the plague remains on the land, we ask you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's thousands of lessons on there, thousands of videos, thousands of audio lessons, all kinds of written lessons. You can get a real education at our website. And be sure and go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to that. In reporting to you, brethren, I'm Kelly Lawson, your 25-year non-paid evangelist of this church. And 25 years ago, when the responsibility of this congregation fell on me, I dreamed of a congregation somewhere in the world where rich and poor, free and bond, black and white, men and women could come together to worship God in spirit and truth. And that's what we've built here, just simple New Testament Christians. Nothing less than world conquest is befitting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can do anything with Christ. Christ can do anything with nothing and a nobody. So we are a congregation dedicated to feeding the poor, which is right out of God's own heart, and preaching the gospel to the whole wide world, which is the Great Commission. And I've turned the preaching pulpit over to Brother William Ralston. He's a Harding University grad and a Bible major. He graduated in 2019. And I'd like to report some of the accomplishments that we have made here in the last 25 years. As I said before, nothing less than world conquest is befitting Jesus Christ, who is Savior of the world, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 1998, we had taught a jail chaplain, Eddie Frazier, and Eddie Frazier left here and went out in 1998, and he has now taught and baptized over 21,000 souls. That's a very successful self-supporting jail ministry. Before the Great Plague, we were feeding here about 2,000 meals a week to the poor and homeless. Today, we still feed. Even though the plague's on the land, we still feed the poor and homeless out the kitchen window. We still feed on Sunday and serve the Lord's Supper and have a message to those on the parking lot. We're working daily here at the Main Street Church of Christ. Before the plague, we taught a daily Bible class and fed a lunch and a breakfast to the poor and the homeless. Now we have coffee and donuts of a morning and then lunch sandwiches for them to take with them. And this is in conjunction with the feeding program for the furloughed food workers, which is being distributed right here across the street from us. We want to ask you to tune in the same time, same station next week, the preaching of the gospel in North Texas. We have 7 national radio broadcasts that go out of here to the United States, and we have 27 international radio broadcasts that go out of here to the whole wide world. This is the purest form of evangelism. There's no filthy lucre or money involved at all. How long do you think it's been since we got a check from Africa or China? This is real evangelism. We preach for an hour and give a college-level lecture to all over the world. This month, we had over 200,000 hits on our website. Over 70 countries came and sought lessons on our website. I'm happy to announce to you that the trustees have announced that because of this great plague, every penny that's given on PayPal will now go to Worldwide Christian Radio. It'll go to evangelism. Every cent, instead of paying a fancy preacher a great big salary, instead of paying for big buildings. We want to ask you to help us conquer the world with the preaching of the cross of Christ. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's thousands and thousands of videos, audio lessons on there. Last month, we downloaded over 200,000. We have 7,300 home churches, and we downloaded over 200,000 hits on our website. Where do the poor and the homeless go when they don't have a home to shelter in place during a plague like's on our land today? Well, I can tell you they don't have a place. They don't even have a tent. They're such sinners, they need to be told, repent, or you'll all likewise perish. Now's the time to preach repentance to the world. Help us that we might go out to the world and preach repentance to the world. My name's Kelly Lawson, and I'm just a little old evangelist at Main Street Church of Christ, called to preach the gospel to the poor and homeless here in this area. We as evangelists are called to high adventures in Christ Jesus. There's all kinds of things that God, nothing less than world conquest will do in when we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you know that God wants you to feed the poor, like according to Psalms 41:1, blessed is he who remembers the poor, the Lord will be with him in a time of trouble. And if you believe John 5, where it says this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If you really believe that, you ought to be able to feed all the poor and homeless in your neighborhood. Jesus did say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we follow that great commission. We believe that. We believed we can do that. And now we preach six times to the entire, nationally here in the United States. Brother William Ralston mainly does those broadcasts. I do a few of them. And I have 27 international radio broadcasts that go out of here to the poor. And again, I'd like to ask you, where do you think that the homeless shelter in place during this plague when they don't even have a home? On Sunday, We have 27 broadcasts, three times a day, every day, we broadcast the gospel to the whole wide world. We teach a college-level sermon that goes out from here, and so I'm going to, at the end of William's sermon, I'm going to begin teaching Sunday school over the next few weeks that you're called to shepherd in place and to hunker down at home. So there'll be a class on the office of evangelists. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next month, the office of evangelists. I'm an evangelist. This is going to give me an opportunity to report on my ministry for the last 25 years here at Main Street Church of Christ. And so I'll start off. This is on our website. You can go on our website for proof of all this stuff. It says, the following is a 1994 paper Brother Kelly prepared and sent to the Bible Chair at Abilene Christian University. That's to all the professors at Abilene Christian University. Certain brethren of the contrary part, meaning that they were probably jackasses, came from a school of preaching and said that I didn't know Church of Christ doctrine. I wasn't teaching Church of Christ doctrine. Well, I was so stupid about the Church of Christ in the 90s and how ACU had become liberal, I said, I'll appeal to Jerusalem. I'll just appeal to the Bible Chair at Abilene. So I sent all of my, boxed up all of my lessons, seed lesson, this paper that I prepared, gone there and read it. It's 50 pages, a PhD paper, on New Testament teaching on how to set a church up, how to run a church, what I was going to do in my ministry. Sent it to the Bible Chair, and they gave it to Professor Philip Slate, who was in charge of the missions department of ACU, and I went to ACU and met with Brother Slate, and he gave me the right hand of fellowship and said that although I was quite conservative, he did approve and give me the stamp of approval and the right hand of fellowship that I might begin laboring here at this church. And Brother Slade had big influence on my life. But I have to confess to you that when I got there, I was absolutely shocked. because I found Abilene Christian University pumped full of false teaching and false belief and false doctrine. You know, they teach that there are two Isaiahs, that there was two Isaiahs. And John 12, verse 37 through 41, it says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Isaiah 53:1. They say that's Isaiah 2. That's the second Isaiah. That's a guy making it up that he's Isaiah. Now, what does John go on and say? "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The other second half of Isaiah 53:1, verse 39 in John 12. "Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again," verse 40, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, understand with their hearts, and be converted, lest I should heal them. These things said Isaiah," they said, that's Isaiah 6. So we got Isaiah 6, first Isaiah, and we got Isaiah 53, the second Isaiah. Jesus said both of them Isaiahs is the same Isaiah. Now, Isaiah said that several times about their eyes being blinded. So which time did he mean? John, under the inspiration of the Scripture, tells us here, he says that, "Understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. These things Isaiah said, when he saw his glory, he spake of him." Listen, there's only one time Isaiah saw his glory, and that was in Isaiah 6, when he saw the glory of the Lord, Isaiah 6, 1 through verse 6. So I'd encourage you to study these things. And I said, Brother Slate told me, he said, you know, he said, your interpretation of Psalms 22 is really quite conservative. He said, you don't have David in there at all. He said, you think that's about Christ, and David was just a shadow of the Messiah to come. And he said, but that's really about David. And I said, Brother Slate, in Matthew 27, verse 46, it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why has thou forsaken me?" That's Psalms 22:1. Matthew tells me that Psalms 22:1 is about Jesus. And, of course, John tells me in Psalms 22:15 that those verses, John says in John 19:23, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. And also a coat. Now, the coat was out seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, "Therefore, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture did they cast lot. These things therefore the soldiers did." Well, that just tells me that John says that Psalms 22, verse 15 through 18, is talking about Jesus. Now, you're asking me to believe that it's talking about David, and Matthew and John is telling me that it's talking about Jesus. Brother Slate, there's other things that the university here is doing. You teach a JEPD theory about how Moses wasn't the author of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And you teach the virgin birth, that God used the wrong word there when he used Alma. All of these things that you do is far, far from the strict interpretation of the Scripture. So I wound up going to Abilene and rebuking the Bible chair at Abilene for their liberal doctrine and returned back here to Dallas. Now, we broadcast every Sunday to Abilene. All of those students at Abilene Christian University have a right to hear the truth of the gospel. They have a right. And so we put on lessons every year that is it's an outline of the whole Bible, and it tells us it's a lesson about the whole Bible, and it's an overview of the whole Bible. And so this is my gospel that I preach every year on the radio every Sunday goes out this. Genesis 1, Genesis 2 and 3, Genesis 4 and 6, Genesis 6 and 8, which is Noah's Ark and Flood. Genesis 8 and 9, the Messiah is to come through Noah and Shem. Genesis 9 through 11, the Table of Nations and Romans 1. Genesis 11 and 12, the call of Abraham, the father of the faithful, in Galatians 3. Genesis 15, the covenant through Abraham. Genesis 22, him offering Isaac and that being a shadow of Christ. Genesis 49, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, that being the Messiah is going to come through the tribe of Judah. Exodus 1 and 2, the date of the Exodus. And see, the Abilene Christian University, that's another thing they do. They teach the late date of the Exodus instead of the Bible date of the Exodus. We teach proper dates here at this church, and we send it out there to Abilene Christian University in Nashville, all those schools of preaching, and all it ought to be on in every place that our colleges and universities are. We teach the Ten Commandments and the New Covenant, hermeneutics in the last days, Isaiah 2, the virgin birth, the mighty God, the peaceful nature of the kingdom of God, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 28, and 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9, the temple of living stones, the prophecy of the heathen miracles of Christ in Isaiah 35. There's one only one Isaiah and John the Baptist in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 42, the coming servant. Isaiah 53, the servant. The first sermon, the Lord's anointed. He preached from Luke in Luke chapter 4 about Isaiah 61. The Sermon on the Mount, the shepherds of Israel, the parables of Christ. I've got about five or six lessons on the parables of Christ. I've got the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, baptism in the thief on the cross, Acts chapter 1 and 2, Acts the church, the Great Commission, about four lessons on the Church of Christ, and types and shadows of Old Testament worship, New Testament worship, like you see outlined here, and then also about five lessons on the second coming of Christ. So this gives an outline of how I teach the high points of the Bible to the whole wide world every year. If you believe in this, the trustees have announced that every penny that comes in through PayPal from now on is going to go to worldwide broadcasting, to worldwide evangelism. So all you have to do is know that every penny will go directly to the radio station. The office of evangelist, I've really been blessed in life. I met Brother Slate, and God's able to do anything with nothing. We began our radio program here. The trustees asked me, they said, Brother Kelly, what do you want to get paid? And I said, I don't want to get paid anything. I don't want to be a hireling. I'm going to take no pay for this. You can pay my expenses if you want to, and I don't even care whether you do that or not. And so they said, well, what would you really like to have? And I said, what I'd really like to have is a radio broadcast. I'd like to multiply what I'm doing. I'd like to have a radio broadcast to North Texas. They said, what do you think that would cost? And I said, about $800. And they said, well, we don't have money like that. And I said, well, let's propose in prayer that the first new $800 we get, that's what we'll do. We'll go out on the radio. And so they did. And that Sunday, a woman came from this church that she had been a member of a fancy church out north, and they'd offended her. And she came here, and she stopped at a liberal church on the way and then came here at 11 o'clock. And so after church, she said, Brother Kelly, I really liked your sermon. It's all Bible, really a Bible thumper. She said, if I join this church, what would my contribution be used for? And I said, what do you want it used for? She said, evangelism. And I said, we've decided that the first $800 a month we get, we're going to spend on radio. She said, my contribution will be $800 a month. Now, that's how God is able to do anything with nothing. That's where we began. And we began recording right here on this pulpit with a ghetto blaster in 1993 or 4. You've seen them great big old radios, huge radios, this big. that big, stood up right up here on this thing, had a cassette tape recorder in there. We'd record this on a cassette tape on a ghetto blaster right here in front of the church, in front of God and everybody. And Brother Philip Slate came and visited with us, and he got this sound system and this screen put up here above us to where we can put the scriptures right on there, and you can come to this church service, and you can just fasten your safety belt, and you can just take off, man, and study with us and really get a lesson here. And so you don't even have to open your Bible. You can just go right on with us. Well, see, that's the secret of radio broadcasting, is that you can't have all this quiet space while people are turning back and forth their Bibles. You've got to be ready to go. Radio has to be done in sound bites. So we were able to do that. He had all this thing, gave $8,000 through the Bell Trust. Thank you, Bell Trust. To put in this machine, and guess what happened? Next week, a guy showed up, and he said, I work for Dallas Stage and Lighting. Do you need somebody to run the sound system? And I said, I sure do. You got a job. And the next week, a guy and his wife, Adam and Heather Colley, showed up from another church. He said, I'm a PhD in computer. Do you need me to run Easy Worship for you? And I said, I sure do. God sent us the sound equipment before he sent the people to run it. I didn't even know how to run it. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We really are called to high adventures in Christ Jesus. Paul was an evangelist, and he told Timothy, he said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou might set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city. So it's a job, the foremost job of an evangelist, to set in order the things that are wanting in a church, get the church working in an orderly fashion and into ordain elders in every congregation. The only problem here is that we don't have men who are qualified to be elders, and I'm telling you now, and William agrees, no elders are better than bad elders. And so we have a board of trustees. We have 8 faithful Christians who oversee us. It's been in the church all their life. They're just not qualified in every instance to be an elder. Some of them don't have children, as an example. And so, but these are faithful Christian businessmen who oversee this work. Now, our checkbook downstairs is open to anybody that wants to come look through the checkbook. You'll see that every penny goes here to pay the lights, water, gas, telephone, and to preach the gospel to the whole world and feed the poor, and that's all. Paul told Timothy that from a child, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Notice where that faith is. It's in Christ Jesus. That means in the church, in Christ, in Him, in Christ Jesus. It means the faith of Christ Jesus, New Testament Christianity. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Theopneustos, God breathed the very Scriptures that he's given us. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Then in chapter 4, he goes on with his charge to the evangelist. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Foremost job of an evangelist is to preach the word and multiply what you're preaching. You need to teach at a high level, and you need to multiply what you're preaching. And it needs to be Bible. You need to teach the Bible, not some sort of stories and jokes and entertainment and all this stuff. People need to learn the Bible. There's a hunger for the Bible. And I encourage ministers, if somebody wants to really become an evangelist, God has a job for you if you'll do it. Preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Let me tell you something. When I first came here, I did Sunday school. I did church. I did Sunday night. I did Wednesday night. I preached all the time. I preached every minute that I could preach. I taught every minute that I could teach. The work here was very important because there was about 100 old people when I came here, when I first came here. And they started dying off, and we're burying them, and we're taking care of these old people. The very first thing that we did is that we took care of our old people, our senior citizens. They died off down to about 40, and then others came in from the radio ministry and from the neighborhood. And we began to feed the poor and the homeless and other things here. I'll go back and tell you more and more about this ministry as we go on through the weeks. And so the foremost job of an evangelist is to preach the poor. Preach the gospel, preach to the poor, preach to everybody. The whole work of the whole church is a great commission. Anything that does not follow under the scope of the great commission is church work and not the work of the church. The work of the church is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach, and that word is methanuro, disciple ye all nations. A disciple is a believer. Go make believers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. The apostles were given this great commission and told to do this. And then Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that will be able to teach others also. So the working of evangelist, he's supposed to commit the things that he has learned to faithful men that'll be able to teach others also. Paul, first generation; Timothy, second generation; faithful men, third generation; teach others also, fourth generation. Paul didn't envision an evolving gospel. He envisioned a gospel that would go on until the end of the world, until Christ came again. This same thing that Peter says, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he could say that by the time that he had written the second book of Peter, 2 Peter. The whole work of an evangelist is to preach the world, the gospel to the world. And so that was a thing to was a wonderful thing to get built up. The first thing we did is we began to preach in the cities where the schools of preaching were. And then we began to preach internationally. And there's no money that comes in from preaching to Africa and China and Europe. This month we had 70 countries came from to our website and did 200,000 things. We have our website fixed so that you can go on there with a jump drive and you can download every audio sermon on the book of Acts, every audio sermon on Matthew, every audio sermon on Isaiah. You can run in place, you can do your MP3s, you can watch videos, you can see all this on videos. And we take you on a journey of pictures that are there. I carry in the front of my Bible the Herald of Truth, the first sermon at the Herald of Truth at ACU went out on their radio broadcast. And it's so much like us today, and the Herald of Truth in ACU is so much different. They have swung, the pendulum has swung. Listen to me, brethren, I'm going to tell you the truth during this Sunday school class. The pendulum had swung all the way to the right to extremes in the 50s. in which we told people, we're the only ones saved, we're the only ones going to heaven, and we judged everybody very harshly. Now that pendulum has swung exactly opposite of that to the very liberal in the church who says, well, it doesn't matter if you what you believe as long as you believe something. And they believe a social gospel. And millionaires, big fancy Church of Christ people, the big people in the Churches of Christ, spent millions of dollars that went into Central Dallas Ministry right down here a block from us. And they have the best social ministry in Dallas, Texas. I'm telling you, there's not another one like it in Dallas, Texas. They can give more stuff, more housing, more stuff, services to the poor than anybody, and they don't give them any Jesus at all. Well, right here, we feed them what they need to eat. We give them a bologna sandwich. We give them a ham sandwich with lettuce and tomatoes on it on Sunday. We give them a sweet, and we preach the gospel to the whole world and them too. And so I'm asking you to join with us and help us that we can take this college-level higher education to the whole world. And join with me, tune in this same time and station next week so that you can hear the rest of this Sunday school class on the work of an evangelist, what an evangelist does, and my history here of 25 years, because I can assure you that I couldn't have done it by myself, that it took foremost of all God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then two great, wonderful brethren, Bernie Wood and Fred Vaughn, whom I'm sure that I let down greatly. So God have mercy on us. Let's end with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as long as the plague remains upon the land, give us a voice to speak out. Help me that I might come down here and expose myself on Sunday to the homeless and give out sandwiches and feed the poor. If it be your will, if this is my last will and testament, and you slay me, then now's a good time as go as any. So if this is my last will and testament, I thank you for it. Give me the opportunity to work here during this plague and during this virus, and keep me preaching strong to all the earth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repent before it's everlasting too late. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.